From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Dice Men listeners, we start on a somewhat somber note this week, of course, because we have all, I'm sure, been touched by the death of David Bowie. And the stories this week of the events leading up to his death. Of course, his amazing contribution to world music, but his amazing work ethic right up to his death. And so, in honour of that, Garth and I went away and we thought, who do we know who's crazy creative with an amazing work ethic like that? The answer we came up with, of course, was no one.
Yes.
But then we thought, hey, who's some loser would have nothing better than to do on a Thursday night than to come and hang out with us when we had an empty chair in the studio.
We started with who's available.
Yeah. And you'd never guess who we came up with. One, Trent.
Don't lie. You guys are desperate to have me back on. Desperate. The show's been absolutely adrift since I left.
Well, you wouldn't know. Yeah. You don't listen to us.
That's true. That's true. I get reports, though. I get reports. Hello. Nice to see you.
On episode 101 of The Dice Men Cometh on the 14th of January,
well done, Mark.
Actually today.
Yep.
Garth, what have we got coming up tonight?
Well, we're going to introduce our mystery third Dice Man for today. Then what we're going to do is actually talk about proper and important stuff, which is what we've been playing this week, and have a couple of games thrown in there. Our mystery guest is then going to regale us with some news, some updates in something Cthulhu-ish.
Ooh.
And then we're going to have a bit of a chat. Now, we're going to have a chat about something that all three of us can relate to, which are games that we really love to play, but we just suck at playing them.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm no doubt we will have a fair bit of time to talk about that. And, of course, we need to talk about our competition because it will be ending on Australia Day.
Yes.
And I don't think we've actually told anyone that that's when it's going to end. So we should probably let them all know.
Fantastic. We're going to have all that and a whole lot more. Now, going on with the David Bowie and Trent theme, I didn't know how to bring the two of them together. Then I came across this.
I think I've sold out, to be honest.
For all the people, particularly those who listen on the podcast, unfortunately, you won't hear all of that track. David Bowie, of course, on the show Extras with Ricky Gervais, with his track Chubby Little Loser. Trent.
That's very sweet of you. I have put on a few kilos over Christmas. Not quite chubby, though, and certainly not little, but there you go. There you go. Nice to be back. Nice to be made to feel welcome.
Nice to have you back, Trent.
Thank you. Thank you. How are you guys?
We're good.
Yeah, we're well.
Okay. Yeah, we've been just having a string of probably 50 of our best shows ever.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's been amazing.
You'd know if you listened.
Well, what have you been playing lately?
Well,
should we go into this?
Let's talk about this because we have been playing one of the hottest games around because it's only been out about a year now. It came out very late in 2013. Designed by Corey Konietzka and Fantasy Flight. This guy just plays, I guess, produces game after game after game. And if you have a look at a photo of him, you can see why.
Oh, please.
This guy loves to design a game, surely. So we're talking about Star Wars Imperial Assault, which is the number 3 thematic board game on Board Game Geek. It has a lot of hotness around it.
Mm.
It is, unsurprisingly, expansion after expansion after expansion. So Fantasy Flight know how to milk that particular lizard, Trent.
I did laugh the other night when our friend Oren said, "Oh, do you think they're going to release something around The Force Awakens for the Imperialists?" And we all just looked at him and went, no, I don't think they'll do that, no.
No, so look, this is obviously the re-implementation of everything Descent, really. So it's Descent 2.5. We have started playing a couple of the initial campaigns, you and I, Trent.
Mm.
Mark has been invited and chosen not to turn up on several occasions.
I've had things on.
Yeah, children, so not important. So we have been playing on our normal Tuesday night, which, Mark, you've been well aware of for a long, long time.
Yes.
But it's been a while, so we may as well talk about it. Now, this, we'll get to why it's different from Descent, but obviously it puts you in the midst of the galactic civil war between the Rebel Alliance and the evil Empire.
It's set between episodes 4 and 5?
It's set after the Death Star is exploded.
Yeah, okay. The first one.
Mm, yeah, right. The first Death Star on Yavin 4. So, look, the the good thing about this game is it comes with two inbuilt modes. You've got your campaign mode, which is primarily what we're going to talk about, but it also comes with a skirmish mode, which is essentially a 1v1. You set up a little map, you're going to be the evil empire, you're going to be the good old rebels, and you just fight. So it's nice that it comes with a couple of different modes, but the campaign mode is where we've been playing it, and obviously where it has the most similarities with what we were doing with Descent all those months ago. So it's from 2 to 5 players. Each little campaign session runs between 60, 90 minutes or so, which is fantastic. You've got the same mechanics where you've got up to 4 players as the rebels and the band of heroes, and then you've got the one player who's going to be the evil empire commanding his seemingly limitless troops that will just come onto the board again and again and again, because thankfully this has a couple of different mechanics to Descent, which I think adds a lot to the game and makes it a bit more enjoyable, having played the two really quite close to each other. So should we just go in straight into how it's different from Descent? Because I think everyone sort of knows Descent. So the number one thing for me, apart from obviously that it's in the Star Wars universe as opposed to the Descent universe, is how the turn sequence works between the heroes and the evil overlord slash evil empire master in this particular case. Because in Descent, the turn sequence would go hero, 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 overlord. Whereas now, in a much more fluid way, it goes hero turn, overlord turn, second hero turn, second overlord turn in each open group. So the overlord gets to have one open group activate in between each hero turn. And I think that just makes it a lot more tactical, and it makes it a bit more interesting from all the players' points.
So can I ask, does that mean that the overlord has a lot more groups? Because obviously with Descent, a lot of the times it was maybe 2 or 3 groups. But if there's something between 4 players and then at the end...
Yeah, look, they don't. They generally only have about 3 to 4 open groups.
Okay.
Because you're only going to have a maximum of 4 heroes.
Yes.
So it works out quite nicely. The Overlord does have a little agenda deck and has the ability to bring out a super baddie if certain conditions are met from time to time, which they will then come onto the board as another open group.
Any particular super baddie?
Well, we have happened to see... Yeah, we have happened to see James Earl Jones on the board, so that was lovely. But that's sort of the main turn sequence difference for me that I really, really liked. What did you think about that, Trent?
I love that new mechanic, and it really does just make the whole thing sort of pop.
Yes.
And sizzle in a way that Descent maybe didn't in retrospect. And against all the odds with this, I absolutely love Imperial Assault.
Yep.
And I was not up for it at all because it just has the word Star Wars written on the box.
Yeah.
And it's fair to say that any... you know, geek who's about my age is going to have a love-hate relationship with that particular franchise. And the new film's good. That's great.
So is
this game, as it turns out. But, you know, my hopes were not high.
Well, there you go. Well, I'm glad that little change was enough to get you over the board. The next one that we'll just talk about briefly is line of sight has been adjusted as well. So line of sight in this is that you have to trace one of the corners of the square that you're in to 2 corners of the defender's square. So essentially what that allows you to have is a situation where an attacker has line of sight, but the defender doesn't have line of sight back, which means that you can do some one-way attacks. Now, that's particularly powerful because there are certain characters, and the one I've started playing is a bit of a lone snipery kind of character, where he gets added bonuses to his attacks if he is considered out of the line of sight of the opponent that he's trying to attack.
And that's a bit of a lurker.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. The next one is that there is no insta-miss on the attacking roll. So we all had the awful moments when in Descent where I think it was the blue die, you'd roll and you'd see that big X come up and your best laid plan is destroyed. You will know that you will always roll somewhat of a successful attack if you get the right length on your die roll, or if you're right next to them and do a melee attack. You're going to get a score on them. However, when the defender's going to roll their dice, they have an opportunity to not only have an instant miss where they manage to dodge out of the way, but another thing is they have the dice rolls where it will cancel your attacks but also cancel your surges.
Oh.
So that's a nice little tweak, I thought, which was also beneficial.
Yeah. And again, it just makes it pop that little bit more. It just ups the ante, I think.
Yeah,
look, I have to admit, part of the reason... Well, I've had things on, but part of the reason I wasn't so worried about it was... I think I had the exact same reaction to you, Trent, where I was like, Really? We're going to play Star Wars Descent? Descent's been fine just by itself.
Not only that.
And now I want to come.
Not only that, Mark, but listen, if ever there was a person born to be an evil overlord with all the bloody rules, pernickety, what are you doing there, and alpha gaming and having everybody else's bloody go for them, it'd be you. But and I desperately want to play a game of Imperial Assault with you running it.
But I like to be part of the team. I'm a team player.
No, you're a team controller. But anyway, so the next thing that I really like about it is how the threat mechanic is implemented. Now, easy way to describe this is every scenario is given a threat value. And that threat value might be 1, 2, 3. So it's an easy low number for those of us who are not that good at math. But what happens is at the end of every round, so once all the heroes and the overlord has had a go, threat is increased by that number. That threat goes onto a little dial which the overlord controls, and that's how the overlord can bring out reinforcements.
Okay, yes.
So at the end of every round, they will have two, three, certain number of threat to be able to spend to reinforce all the units that no doubt we've just spent all this time obliterating. What goes along with that is that you don't have to bring out a whole open group. So normally you've got an open group of, say, three stormtroopers. That would cost you 6 threat to bring out if you're the overlord. You can just do a reinforce and just take out 1 or 2 stormtroopers for 2 or 4 threat. Yeah. So you can break up your open groups, which again just adds to that constant swarm of baddies that are coming out here trying to thwart the rebels. So I think that's a really nice benefit. It also just comes with a really nice threat and round sort of board, so you can actually keep track of all that stuff.
It's the same as the little dials that you get in X-Wing and stuff. Can we move on to some of the bad points about it? Because it's not a perfect system, and I think the single most obvious problem with it is that there's just too bloody much of it.
Yeah.
I mean, the box is like a it's like a packing crate in itself, and you know, really, it's quite a rules-light system. Mm. I would say this is easier to learn than Descent was.
Yeah, but it comes with 3 rule books.
Like, why?
Yeah,
why?
I get that.
And we haven't even looked at the skirmish rules for it. And I don't know if that was even needed. I mean, I suppose it's a nice way to bring all the toys out on the board at once and go mano a mano at each other, I suppose. But I think that anyone could play this game, you know, but the size of it, 3 rule books, all those bits, that's going to scare away casual gamers.
And the one thing
that's an opportunity missed.
The one bit that it doesn't have is a decent player aid, because that's the thing that you probably need more than anything else, because you are constantly trying to refer back to page number 25 into what does pierce or bludgeon or this or that means. You could quite easily put something that's, you know, DL-sized little player aid, and it would just make your life so much easier.
Well, Order of Esoteric Gamers have done that for us.
Yeah, exactly right. It's a shame that they need to do that, because you'd think someone like Fantasy Flight would be able to make that.
Fantasy Flight traditionally have been bad at that, haven't they? Because their games are rules heavy.
Yep.
Don't know why they haven't got some guy on board. Hello, Universal Head, I'm looking at him, to make these to stick in the game.
Yeah. The other thing I like about it is that as the baddie, it actually counts when you knock down a hero. Because unlike in Descent, where you go all chumbawamba and get knocked down and get up again and knocked down and get back up again and so on and so on, you only get 2 cracks at this. You've got your double-sided player card with your 13 or 14 hit points, but once you get wounded, that flips over. If you then get wounded to that extent again, you're out of the session. So you've got permanent session death, which has a lot more of an immediate impact.
Yeah.
Because also, if the baddie can get all 4 heroes wounded, it's an insta-win.
Whereas
in Descent, you know, basically a great tactic for an overlord is just rail on this one character, so all they're doing is getting
down,
injured.
Down.
That ruins the whole thing. In Star Wars, it actually is a bit more critical for them to attack everyone. So look, I really love it. I like what it's changed in the Descent mechanics. I don't see any reason why you can't just implement that kind of changes into Descent itself and add in that. I love it.
And Mark, we look forward to seeing you on the evil side of the table very soon.
Well, I'm feeling something not being there. I'm feeling a bit of sorrow.
David Bowie with Sorrow. Oh, so sad now.
Has everyone been following all the leaks and stuff about all the clues that he supposedly left people?
No.
About how he was sick over the past 18 months or whatever it was?
Well, I was reading about how he was making people sworn to secrecy, but I didn't know about that.
Yeah, so he's been leaving clues all over the place.
Oh, wow.
The last film clip that he made...
The Black Star one.
...has him walking backwards into... Is it a coffin or a closet at the very end? The last person that he followed on Twitter was God.
Yes, I saw that.
And look, he always did that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Look, obviously it was a fantastic life, and it's very sad that he has departed this earth. Now, another thing that is very sad is when you have no friends to play your games with. And there's only one thing that you can do, Mark, and play a solo, play a lone hand, and you've been doing exactly that.
Look, sometimes, you know, when I've got busy things as a single dad, you know, I've got my kids around and they're doing stuff and I'm stuck at home by myself. Sometimes I invite you guys over if it's a Saturday night. Sometimes it's during the day and I've got an hour or so to kill, or, you know, I'm cooking a meal and I've got time to take goes in between flipping the bits of meat and whatever, I pull out Pathfinder Adventure Card Game, Rise of the Rune Lords.
That's not where I thought that was going.
No.
Yeah, okay.
And look, I can set it up on the table on my lovely playmat that people will have seen in my Instagram photos. And I can take a turn. I can go back and do a bit more cooking or my home brewing or whatever I'm doing, go back and take another turn. And I can leave it set up for days if I want, because I'm often by myself. But look, I must admit, I enjoy it more now than I did at the start. At the start, it was very samey, whereas now the trials and tribulations, the quests are harder, but my characters feel more, I guess, like roleplay characters because they're more developed. They don't have a backpack of vanilla objects that you just buy in the general adventurer store before you walk out on day one of your adventurer career. They've got stuff that they've found, that they've got from monsters, that they've earned in quests, that make them all different.
So you're playing multiple characters.
Yeah, so I have a party.
Yes.
Woohoo!
Yes.
I have a party of four characters.
Party of one.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have a party of four characters. I have a cleric, a sorcerer, a rogue and a fighter, funnily enough. And so the party and I, we go and have these adventures. And so we've just been involved in the Hook Mountain Massacre, which was the third adventure deck.
So is this something that you've bought in addition to the base set?
Yes, so the base deck came with the first adventure deck.
Right.
So there were like three basic games, and then the first adventure deck had five games. And then you purchase additional adventure decks. There are six adventure decks.
Ka-ching.
One you get in the pack and you buy the other five.
Ka-ching.
Then there are also things like the rogue deck, which gives extra options for rogues.
Oh, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Yeah. So I've just finished the third adventure deck, which means I've played probably 18 different games.
Wow, you are on your own quite a bit.
Yeah. And I've got only three more adventure decks to go with another 15 games left.
Ah, look, you could be doing worse things, I suppose. Yeah, or well, better, depending on your point of view.
Yeah. Look, I'm getting more into it now, and what I've discovered is really you've got to explore multiple times on a turn, because normally you only get to explore once. So you've got to burn cards, extra blessings, extra allies. You can discard them to do more exploring, because basically you've only got, in every game you've got 30 turns. It's set. You've got six, with four characters, you've got six locations you've got to go to, and each location has 10 cards in it. So potentially, if you go to a location once and you draw one card, obviously it's going to take you 60 turns to get through everything. You've only got 30 turns, and you've got to uncover all the bad guys and kill them and stuff. So you've got to explore multiple times, and it makes it quite challenging. So yeah, look, I've been enjoying it. I have to admit,
well, that's lovely.
But is it like patience, where when you're playing on your own, you flip over a card that just annihilates you. You just go, oh, let's just pretend that didn't happen, and let's just move on, and I'll just shuffle that round there, and I'll just keep playing because I'm really enjoying myself, and the game would come to a premature end if I played it properly.
Mostly not.
Okay.
occasionally what happens is, occasionally what happens is, you know, I get my big fistful of die for a particular check and I roll them. And then I go, oh, I forgot to play this other card. If I'd played that.
Oh, well, Jesus, you do that all the time when you're playing with other people. You do it when you're on your own.
I alpha game myself.
Oh, my God.
That's why he has a private selection of like half a dozen take-backsy cards.
Anyway, look, I've been having a bit of fun with it. The thing is, what I realise about the app that I've been hanging out for, because the app would do this beautifully, is the app's going to come out. It's going to be, what, minimum $10 for the base app?
Yeah, minimum.
And probably another $10 or more for each adventure deck. So already I would have, if I was playing this on the app, I would have spent maybe $30 or $40. Given that I've spent $300 or something dollars on this, you know, I'm not going to go and then spend more, I think, to get the app and all the adventure decks. So I'm just going to have to play through it with the stuff I've got.
Is there, would you recommend it? Is there anything else like this in the sort of solo space where it's expandable like this and customizable?
Well, look, I'm really curious to see. There's a Kickstarter, and we talked about it a few weeks back, I think. Seventh Continent.
Yeah, there's the Seventh Continent.
Which is a similar sort of idea with these dexploration games where you're exploring through decks of cards. Mm. It's sort of got deck building and other stuff. And obviously they've released a number. I think they're up to the third base set now with this. I've played it a couple of times with other people, believe it or not. It wasn't that fun. And because it's sort of me telling everyone, I don't know if you played it with the same people a few times, maybe it would be fun like it's fun for me now. But it does take time. Like, it's probably a couple of hours.
Well, do you remember when we played it with Mark, Trent? And it was basically we were sitting around the table doing what we were told to do.
That's every game. That's every game. Okay, with an alpha gamer.
Yes. Look, let's move on.
Can we talk about something fun?
Yeah, look, there is another game that we, in fact, played a little while ago.
Yeah.
And I've prepared a little sample, if you like, because this game is Fun Employed, designed by Anthony Conter. And believe it or not, this game was seen in a prototype form by Rob Davio of Risk Legacy, Pandemic Legacy, Seafall, the Legacy game. He loved it so much, he made a game company to release this game. So Iron Wall Games is his company, released it on Kickstarter in 2014, plays 3 to 20. Mm-hmm. It's quite a quick game, and I know, Shut Up and Sit Down, we often talk about their reviews. They loved it, and they said, this is fun like Cards Against Humanity isn't. Mm. Basically, and it has that apples-to-apples mechanic where you have one deck, which is, in this case, it's jobs you're applying for. And the other deck is attributes, traits, things about you that make you different. And so you, using four cards, you have to apply for a job. One person is the hirer, mm-hmm. and the other people are the applicants. And then the hirer obviously goes around and you draw cards. So we can give a practical example right here on air. I've given you guys four randomly drawn cards. They're your
randomly
attributes.
Drawn.
They were randomly drawn by
randomly
me.
Randomly drawn, yeah. Okay.
And you're applying for a job.
Okay.
So the job you're applying for, which you guys haven't seen this card.
No, because this is random.
You're applying for the job of my butler.
Uh-huh.
Of course okay. we are.
Mm. And you're going to use... So you have to apply by giving a speech to me, and I make the judgment about who wins, using all the attributes in your card. So we'll talk about the cards at the end, because often it's not that clear in the speech what they are.
Yep.
But you usually what happens is you put them down on the table as you talk about them, but you don't necessarily say the name of the card. So we'll do it at the end. In case you couldn't guess what the cards were, Garth,
oh, me
would
first?
You like to go first and apply for the job of my butler?
Of your personal butler. All right, Mark, how's it going, geezer? You might guess that the best butlers in the world, they come from only one place. And that's from Britain. Now, you're very, very fortunate, because the second thing that makes butlers absolutely indispensable is their sense of fashion, and you will know that I am the best-dressed man in Britain. The other thing is that there are skinny doors, there are fat doors, there are wide doors, there are all kinds of doors, but it doesn't matter, because I'll be able to get in and out of every door, every nook, every cranny, even up and down the dumbwaiter in your particular household. And you know what? You can ask me to do whatever you want,
because there will be no judgment here.
So, just so you know at home, Garth had four cards. British accent, slender frame. What was the third
three-piece
one?
Suit.
Oh, three-piece suit and cold black heart. So he had to weave those into his application. I think he did rather well. Trent, now your turn.
There is no way that these cards are random.
They're random.
No, they're not. Because I'm just going to tell you what my cards are. I've got a German accent.
Yeah.
I've got effeminate.
Yeah.
I've got social media profile.
Yeah.
And edible underwear.
Yeah.
There you go.
So I am very much wanting to be your butler, please, Mark, today. Yes, I will wear anything that you want me to do. If you're feeling hungry, we can make all kinds of interesting suggestions there. Mark, I will be very servile for you, and you can see that I'm very popular from all the friends I have on the Facebook.
The Fleshbook.
That too, yes. Many different social networks.
And surely you would be on time and efficient.
Sure. Oh,
dear. Random my ass.
So there you go.
That's what you get the job.
A quick taste of fun employed. I've played it a couple of times now. I've really enjoyed it. It's a great end of the night game. You know, you can play it for 15 minutes. You can play it for an hour and a half. You score points, but look, it's all in the fun. Hmm. What about, so Garth, you've played it twice now as well?
Yeah, I've played it several times with you, Mark, and Leon and Sarah and a few other people. So look, I think it's a great little filler game. It's a lot of fun. And it just, look, it's a great icebreaker, I think. If you're around a bunch of people that you may not know particularly well, playing something like this is much better than going into Cards Against Humanity, where you just end up feeling embarrassed for each other for a long, long time. So look, it's good fun. I love it.
Look, it's probably one of the better deployments of that apples-to-apples mechanic. But again, you need a table full of extroverts to play something
like
this.
Yeah, you're right. I think that's the only thing is if you're not comfortable sort of public speaking, then it's not going to be the game for you.
No.
But look, in a fun group, it can be absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, I think, look, we all make judgments on who we want around the table depending on the games that we want to play. And I think like anything, you've just got to make the right decision. I think it's an excellent game. And with the right group of people, you will be in stitches.
And the cards are ugly to look at, I've got to say. They're nothing flash.
Yeah, but look, why would you spend a lot of money on this? Because it was about, I guess with these games, it's about the fact that there's a huge volume of cards that come with it.
How much did you get a copy of this for?
It was Kickstarter. It was only like 30 to maybe 40 bucks max.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and like lots and lots of cards with it. Anyway, look, we'll come back in a minute and we'll talk more about what you've been up to, Trent, but we're going to have some classic Bowie now. One of the all-time classic tracks, and for those of us who are old enough to remember when that was around, it's amazing to listen to. It's still great to this day to hear those tracks. Forgive us for indulging on all Bowie all night, but, you know, there's just so many amazing tracks. Now, Trent.
Hello. Nice to be back. Thank you very much for inviting me in.
Now,
I've been not gaming an awful lot over the past year or so since I left the show. I must admit, I've gotten a little bit busy and you know a career in sort of saving organisations from themselves. And it has intruded on things, and it's intruded on some of the ambitions that I had for last year. Do you guys remember I was talking about I wanted to run the Masks of Nyarlathotep?
Yes.
Yeah.
We've been
campaign.
Waiting for
I know.
And how
I,
well has that campaign gone? Are you part of the legal action?
I do love all things to do with our tentacle overlord, of course. what brought that on was that I helped kickstart the Masks of Nyarlathotep prop set for that particular Call of Cthulhu campaign, one of the most famous campaigns in role-playing history. $74,000 the guy raised, Ben, I think his name is. That was back in, as of August 2015, it had gone absolutely nowhere and looks like it's all going to end up in legal action.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Which means you don't get the props.
That's it. But happily, there have been some other Cthulhu-related Kickstarters and a complete reimagining of the 1991 Chaosium release Horror on the Orient Express was one of those. $200,000 plus.
Wow.
It raised in October 2012 and it shipped last September.
Oh, fantastic, yes.
I did not get in on the ground floor with this one, but it is available in stores.
Oh.
And when I was last on the mainland, I picked up a copy of it.
Oh, my goodness. It is on the desk.
It is a massive box, and it was worth the weight, and it was also worth the weight, W-E-I-G-H-T.
Yes.
This thing, this box, and I haven't quite got everything in it, guys, because there are still some surprises that I want to spring on you while we play through this. This cost me over $200.
Wowzers.
To buy. Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Now when you pick it up off the shelf, you can understand why.
Yep.
What do you get for $200 retail? Well, you get five books. You get a lot of goodies. You get maps. You get little replica passports for your players. I'm just opening things up here. So all the players get their own replica passports.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, check that out, Mark.
Wow.
A giant map that unfolds showing all the Orient Express routes.
You got the
Traveler's Companion. This is like a 1920s style sort of tourism brochure. You get maps of all the train carriages as well.
Oh, Mark, you would be loving
so
this.
You can mark out exactly where it is that you're sleeping every night
goodness.
When you're on the Orient Express.
Yeah, make sure you never use the same bathroom twice.
Five separate books. One book just entirely of random NPCs.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Another book which is just handouts.
Yeah.
Okay. For the investigators, because, of course, Call of Cthulhu was always big on handing out props.
A bit of a slip of a newspaper,
right, so
a receipt, all those sort of fantastic things that add to
the... One entire book is all perforated pages that you can tear out,
God.
Cut up and all that.
Can we play this tonight?
All that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Postcards, stickers, and a little box of matches.
Oh.
Real matches?
No, they're actually toothpicks. turns out you can't sell matches in what's basically classified as a toy.
Yep.
There are, in addition to all this cheddar, expanded adventures with it, optional side missions, Dreamland stuff. I can't wait to get stuck into this.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of a challenge, though, in that this is based on the 7th edition rules and not the 6th edition rules that I'm used to playing.
Right?
So there's a little bit of a rules tweak that we have to make with some of the 7th edition rules. Not hugely different for sort of long-time Call of Cthulhu players. All of your stats, your strength and what have you, they're all now just expressed as percentiles,
okay,
which actually makes life a little bit easier because it was always a largely percentile-based system, but
it was
never a particularly elegant or pretty system. It was just kind of a functional thing. It's just been made a little bit more fun, I think. A few things to help players as well. You can now spend luck points to change dice results.
Ah, excellent. So you're using up your good luck, but you'll probably have some bad down the track?
The more luck you use, the more runs out.
Yeah,
you can
exactly.
accumulate a little bit back if you do well. Skill advancement is easier.
Mm-hmm.
You can push a dice roll now. So you can effectively, if you fail, you can actually double down on it. You can say, right, I'm going to roll that again, but the consequence of failing means that I'm basically going to die.
Yeah, okay.
Right? And that's the player gets to nominate that.
That's great.
To push a roll. Character generation has a few more wrinkles in it. There's a few things like background and significant others that you can roll up for, mm-hmm. which helps to flesh things out a little bit more. Best of all, there's no more opposing skill chart in it. So when you were rolling against other players or NPCs, you had to sort of consult this little chart and come up with a number. Don't have to do that anymore.
Is that what was on the back of that massive, great big screen?
One of them.
I was going to say, is that going to affect that massive GM board that you've got?
And with the skill difficulty, you're now just... everything's a percentile. If something's harder, then you're halving your percentile. If it's really tough, superhuman, then you're express it as a fifth, and you've got to roll that. Look, a little bit more help for the investigators, a little bit more streamlining and logic in the system, and a little bit more gambling you know, with this doubling down on the spending of like points as well. So I think it's going to be an improvement.
Fantastic.
I'm just trying to get it all in my head, of course, and then, you know, we're going to set up the first campaign, the first game. You can even start, you know, there's a couple of different points where you can choose where to start. You know, you don't have to, I mean, I mean, it's horror on the Orient Express. So
going to get on a train.
The campaign's on rails.
I'm not getting on that thing,
right?
I'm taking the bus.
But you can actually choose where to start to a certain extent. So I hope you guys enjoyed. I haven't given away all the secrets by bringing the box into
Well, there is a fair bit of empty space. Now, I must admit, when Trent initially showed me this a couple of weeks ago, he sent me a photo from inside a game store in Melbourne.
Yes.
And I was getting excited, and he goes, yeah, but... But we're not going to be able to play it on, you know, until I finish my book. And I went, oh God, here we go. This is another one of Trent's grand plans, where he's going to run this mammoth epic, but he's got to write a book in between that.
No,
not the case.
No, I just had to finish reading my book.
Oh,
I was reading a good book. It's like, okay, I'll start reading the rules after I finish that.
Yeah, but in his normal. You know, role-playing sort of everything is a drama. Trent Swindells, I had to finish
my book. Have limited time available to me, and there is something about a campaign like this that is an element of sort of tilting at windmills, you know, because I have you have so little free time, to dedicate to things. You've really got to want to prioritise it.
Yes.
Well, and let's be honest. I bought a PS4 for Christmas.
All right. Now the truth comes out.
So there have been a few problems. But I'm over halfway through the latest Uncharted.
There you go. All right. Should we have a song and then come back and talk about the games we just love but don't know how to play?
Let's have one final Bowie break and we'll be back. Okay, some very early Bowie there with Kookson, you know. It's the three of us. I thought it fitted. Interestingly, I didn't even realise, this song, the Kooks the band, named themselves from this song, and I just read that Bowie was listening to a Neil Young album, and that was his influence for this song. I didn't hear it, I must admit.
Anyway.
Yeah, it was Bowie from 71.
Yep.
Now, speaking of things that are hit and miss...
God, that was a bit of a stretch.
Games we love, but we're hopeless at.
Oh, have you been doing this segue thing long? Have you, Mark?
look, there's lots, isn't there? There really is.
There is a lot.
Let me start.
Okay.
Okay, because one that I've played with you guys, and I know why I'm bad at this game because of you guys, Nothing Personal.
Yeah, okay.
Of course, the thing about this game is everything is personal in this game.
Mm.
And so there's so much metagaming going on of, well, I want to support my guys, but I don't want your guys to get anywhere.
Yeah, so this is Tom Vassell's mafia-themed game based on the old Kremlin mechanic.
Yeah,
and you've basically got a pyramid of cards, of mafia figures, and you're duking it out to try and get up to the
And you want that capo ring.
And each position on the way up has different powers and stuff like that. And there is so much backstabbing going on.
Awesome. And it's also... Look, it's one of those games that I love. And look, we probably haven't played it for a year, I reckon.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because I've got two expansions that came out and took 18 months for.
Oh.
Thank you, Games Loop.
Yeah, but look, that's realistic, really.
Yeah,
When Tom Vassell came out and said, this is going to take me 18 months to do, everybody criticised him. So, really? That long?
Yeah.
Did it ship on time?
Yeah, the game did. I'm talking about the expansion.
Yeah, that's
any involvement in that?
Didn't he? Oh, okay.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. I think that is a very good choice. Surprisingly, I reckon Trent would disagree because I've played it a couple of times and he's won game.
But I always lose. That's what I'm saying. I've never done well in this game. And it's actually because you guys, you bastards, don't want to let me anywhere near the top of that tree. That's for sure.
Nothing Personal is my bitch. That is one of the few games where it's just right in my wheelhouse, and I tend to do quite well at it.
Yep.
Unlike, I mean, look, it's the obvious.
Yeah, it is.
Trent's back on the show, so we may as well talk about Seven Wonders, which is a game I've played more than any other game in my collection or in anybody else's. I've played more of Seven Wonders. I've won it exactly one time.
Yeah, which is only relatively recently. That's as right, well. Earlier... And you did have to play against children for that win, but you won.
Not true, not true. No, it was a game of four adults, one of whom was a seasoned gamer. No, two of us were seasoned gamers, but yeah... I still love Seven Wonders. I'm not interested in the Babel expansion though. I've drawn a line in the sand with
okay. the jewel. Seven Wonders jewel.
No. There's enough going on.
Just wait for the app. The app will come out. It's only been in beta for 6 months. So anyway, my option, which is kind of like Mark's, but a little bit more genteel, is Chinatown. So it is essentially the negotiation
you
game.
You do suck at that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's the first on my list. It should be a game that's right up my alley. It's about talking and negotiating and deal making and dim sum and, oh, it's awesome. I come last by a long way.
Yeah, the game of Chinese real estate.
Yeah.
Wheeling and dealing. And
and it's quite mathy. And it's funny because you guys always think that this is the thing that I do, but it's not. I look at your board, I start crunching the numbers in my head, and I go, crikey, Garth is looking really good here. I'm almost ready to give up.
Yeah, and he says this about 10% of the way into the game. He's, oh, I think I'm coming last. I don't know how I'm going to play this. Oh, you're doing so well. Oh. And then he wins by about 30 points.
That's it. And basically, you know, any game that I enjoy that I'm bad at is basically anything I'm playing with Mark. Except nothing personal. Yep. That's the exception that proves the rule. Because honestly, Mark, 9 times out of 10, you and I are duking it out for first place. Yeah. And you usually beat me by 1 point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's happened so many times. We last played 2 games at the Gallerist.
Yep.
My God, that's a great game.
Yes,
that I really enjoy. And you and I, first and second,
yep.
each time.
Well, I did put that on my list because in those 2 games I came last both times. So I'll just get that off my chest.
Well, look, let me go back to a game that I love. This game so much. I love the original TV series. I love the reboot TV series even more. That is Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, okay.
And again, I think it comes down to the fact that... Well, in this case, it actually comes down to the fact that I'm a bad liar. I struggle to tell a lie.
You're in sales, Mark.
And but I sell truthfully, Garth. I'm an ethical salesperson. I struggle to lie. I struggle to fib. I struggle to be what I am not. So if I am not a Cylon... I usually do well at this game, but if I'm ever a Cylon, I might as well just give up in the first round.
Oh, well, because everybody always assumes that you're the Cylon.
Yeah, that's
Mark.
Right.
Yeah, it's that smile. That's the one there, Mark. Yeah. See, I almost wrote this on my list, but then I just went, nah, it's just not true, because the last time I played it, I was the Cylon, one of two, and I was the captain of the ship, and I survived and watched you guys go down in a blaze of glory. It was glorious. I really, really liked that game that I played last time. It was awesome.
I can't say that it's a game I ever really care to play again. Yeah. I find Battlestar Galactica to be just a bit of a grind, to be honest. And I think you've got plenty of other choices as far as, you know, if you want to play a game with a hidden traitor mechanic, and obviously Dead of Winter would be the sort of main contender for that. It's a game I've played quite a bit. It's a game I can play with my family. I can't say again that we're particularly good at it, though, because that can actually be quite challenging.
Exactly right. And I do need to do a little shout out for Leon here, because he was very insistent that we did make a mention of Dead of Winter, because he has played 13 straight games and had 13 straight failures. So he loves this game, but just cannot get a victory under his belt.
I wonder if he's playing it right.
I reckon he is. He's
a nice guy. That's his problem, isn't it? He trusts people.
Nice guys finish last.
That's right. He hasn't played with us enough,
has he? In the zombie apocalypse.
So, look, I want to bring one to the table which is slightly different because it's a co-op. And I would have to say that you can't go past Flashpoint. I love this game, and I don't know how many times I've played it.
Man.
But have we ever won anything, especially on any expansion map? Come on, never.
Yeah,
this game is brutal.
Because, again, I collected all the... I love the game so much, I collected all the expansions.
Yes.
So I've got every map that's ever been put out for it, and all the little bits and pieces. And of course, when all of that arrived in the post, the first thing we did was, let's play the one where you're putting out the fire on board the plane.
Yeah, of course.
That's parked at the airport, surrounded by fuel trucks. Yep. You know what? Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? And of course, I think we were dead in two turns.
Yeah. It was insane.
The entire squad was incinerated.
That was horrible.
Brutal. Brutal. Yeah.
Look, one more I'll throw in to mention. I haven't played it that many times, but you've heard me talk about this, guys. Virgin Queen. You know, it's the epic, it's like Twilight Struggle for 5 or 6, the epic war game of the Reformation and Martin Luther playing different European powers, and it's got the political part, it's got war, it's got colonization of America. Really complex, takes a long time. You know, we're talking 4 or 5 hours. I have done dismally the few times that I've played it. I still cannot wait to play it more. And probably in the same camp are the coin series, recently played the Fire in the Lake. Mm-hmm. We've got And in Abyss to play. I love this concept. I love the game we played of Fire in the Lake. But I was hopeless, and I don't care.
No. And that's what I sort of have to reconcile, because a lot of the games that are on the list, I would happily play right now.
Yeah.
Because I've got Brewcrafters on the list, which I think is a great game, and I really enjoy that, building up the brewery and trying to sell it and all that. But I just come third or fourth every single time.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't care, except when we're doing the scoring, because I love the journey.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic.
Well, welcome to my life.
Excellent.
Look, we've almost run out of time. However, we've got a couple of minutes left to talk about our competition. Now we've got almost all of the episodes out, the back episodes.
Yep.
I think there's maybe a couple still to come of the ones that sort of got chopped short.
Yeah.
I think maybe 93 and 95.
Low 90s. They're like almost 10 away.
That's right. This competition, the 12 Games of Christmas, obviously the closing date now is Australia Day. Yes, it's a little bit past Christmas, but hey, we've got 12 games to give away, and we're running this thing, so we don't care. We've had lots and lots of entries, lots of photos posted on our Facebook page, reviews on iTunes.
Yep. We got another one today, which is fantastic. So yeah, I really want to just say thanks to everyone who's putting in the effort, who's putting up video, putting up audio, photos, sharing the posts, and making the effort to do those reviews. That means a lot, guys.
That's brilliant. And of course, this competition is brought to us by Area 52, one of our friendly local game stores, and the Schwartz has been very generous for us. So we've got the 12 games ready to go. And you've got till Australia Day to get your entries in. We'll be going through then the podcast immediately after Australia Day, which I think is the
28th.
That's right. Whatever the Thursday is, we'll be announcing the winners. It is going to be epic.
It's mammoth. 12 games. Who gives away 12 games? We must be crazy.
It is crazy. Look, that's all we've got for this week. Trent, it's been so good to have you on board again.
Thank you.
You haven't lost your edge.
My edges have become a little rounder over Christmas. Well, I will admit that.
But apart from that, we will let's go to the pub and play a game and have a frosty beverage.
That sounds awesome.
And we'll talk to you again next week.
Bye. Bye.
This has been an edit of The Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.